Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Mark Meek. Your co-host is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Well, this is a live program, and here I am fighting my mic. It wants to flop around.
And I'm over here on the edge of my seat like, oh, holy, are we going to make it?
Mark, that's why we can't have nice things.
Yeah. I may do like Natalie and just hold mine here in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, then you can just move it away real fast when you want to. Yeah.
So we've got Wendell Griffin in studio with us tonight.
Thank y'all for having me.
And thanks for joining us.
We're gonna have a, I don't know what kind of program.
A good program, that's what.
Well. I agree with that.
What yours is doing.
Yeah, Wendell's been on with us several times. Man, we're making a lot of adjustments here tonight.
I tell you, this is what happens when you let Natalie set up the microphone stands. See, this is why everybody needs a gym in their life, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well,
I set these two up, though.
Oh, did you? Well, I wasn't going to throw you in the rug like that, so... But, you know, I'm really excited because to find out what we're going to be talking about tonight. You know, Wendell actually is head over Behind the Bars Ministry. Is that correct?
Behind the Bars Ministry, that's right.
All right. And so where is that actually? Is that out of Wheeler? Or?
It's out of Wheeler, Texas. And it's a chapter of Circuit Riders Motorcycle Ministry, which is based out of Giulion, Louisiana. I think I'm saying that right. I might be butchering the name of that town, but it's somewhere down in southwest Louisiana.
Okay. All right, that's pretty cool.
Circuit Riders is a motorcycle ministry, been around since 1983. And, excuse me, they were instrumental in, they were a powerful tool in God's army that God used to reach out to me and change my life forever. So
that's good.
I'm kind of tied in with Circuit Riders ever since 2005. Next month will be 17 years since I've been saved.
Wow.
So... Wendell, we heard a pretty stirring message this morning.
Absolutely.
At church about sharing our story.
Yes.
And if you would, just briefly, we've done this before on here, but just kind of a little reminder. Could you share a little bit of your story?
I can. Yeah. You want the PG version or the...
We better have the general audience.
We'll better have the family-friendly version.
I'll cut it down some. Whenever I was about 10 years old, my parents split up and they got divorced, and I kind of started hanging around with some kids in the neighborhood that I was drawn to being a bad kid, I guess. I would sneak out, and we would start smoking pot and doing things that weren't... really good for the character. And at an early age, I started doing drugs. I learned about speed and acid and pot and pills and all kinds of stuff. And I found out early in life that I liked to get high, just didn't have the money. So I learned how to start selling drugs to get the money to get high. I end up quitting school. I run away from home a couple times. I got in trouble with the law enforcement quite a lot, but they kept giving me breaks, and I know that was God's favor because they never did, you know, they would just give me a slap on the hand. And at one point in time, I was 27 years old. I'd gotten in trouble with the law enforcement in Fort Worth, and they was going to give me a break and let me put my charges on the girl that was with me and let me walk free. And I told them that, no, I'll take the charges. And I ended up going to the penitentiary. Was there for about 4 years and 8 months, something like that. And I had a lifestyle embedded in me for cooking methamphetamine and selling drugs to a bunch of criminals. And that was, I figured that was my lot in life. I figured that's what I was supposed to do. And, I tried to change. I kept trying. And I just finally accepted the fact that that was my cards in life that I was drawn. And one day God showed up through some circuit riders in a 7-Eleven parking lot in North Texas. And, they prayed for me. When they put their hand on my shoulder, well, let me go back here. Whenever they showed up, I started talking to them. One of the riders pulled out a little, it looked like a 2-gram vial out of his saddlebag. And back in the day when I was a criminal, we used to sell acid and we'd buy it in 2-gram vial. So when he pulled this little bottle out, I thought, what in the world are they fixing to do to me now? And they all got some on their fingertip and they rubbed a cross on my forehead. They all put their hands on my shoulder and on my Harley and they started praying. And in that instance, I felt fire start from the bottom of my feet, coming up the back of my legs, up my back, up my neck, and out the top of my head. And I didn't know what it was. Because, I mean, I knew God was real. I just didn't know him. I ran from him. And whenever that happened, I had the desire to learn about God. Because, I mean, that feeling that I got was a cleansing feeling. And that was on May 5th, 2005, on a Thursday night in a 7-Eleven parking lot beside a gas pump on Davis Boulevard in North Richland Hills, Texas. And so I can literally thank heaven for 7-Eleven. So I know that my mom, who was passed away at that time, she had been praying for my salvation. And my sister and brother-in-law, who are now, well, my brother-in-law just passed away recently, but my sister, she's still a circuit rider because I got them involved in circuit riders. And I've just been, my life is way better because I surrendered to Christ. I mean, I couldn't even begin to imagine how life would be without Christ now. I mean, I don't even want to imagine.
So would you say you had a radical change?
I did. I was delivered up and set free from a 32-year lifestyle that was embedded in my character.
Yeah. That's cool. I love your testimony. And, you know, we were talking about sharing our story, and you're never ashamed to do that. I've noticed that.
Well, I do want to say that everything I said, I was not giving any glory to the enemy.
Yeah.
All glory goes to God because he took a lifetime of filth that I had allowed in my character, and he set me free from it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. That, you know, that's what, whenever, I haven't been into prisons to do ministry since before COVID started, but whenever I'd go in there and I'd tell them, you know, God loves them right where, you know, he loves them as them. He don't want to change their personality. He just wants to help them get rid of the trash that we've picked up along the way. Because, I mean, I'm still the same person that I was. I just don't have all that filth in my life that I had. And that's what he wants, to love us the way we are. He just wants to help us clean up.
We don't have to change.
That's right.
All the us. We just let him change the things that
and he needs our different personalities. Because we can't, who Wendell can reach, I can't.
Yeah.
Who Mark can reach, Wendell can't.
Right.
Because of the differences in the personalities and the who we are in Christ. And he needs each each and every one of us. And, you know, it makes me think about the personality of God. If you think about it, all of God, the personality of God, every one of us has a piece of his personality.
Yes.
You know, one form or another. And yeah. So we need all of those personalities
yeah.
to do that.
You know, you have that before you get saved.
That's right.
And that's just something that it clears everything up so that that can shine out in us.
The pressures of the world kind of smashes his personality down in us, and yeah. he wants to help bring it out.
Well, and it's like what Sonia was preaching about this morning, that God created us, one egg, one sperm, came together just to make Wendell, just right. like you are, to look like you, to be like you, to offer everything that you have to offer, and that's what he's done for all of us for
Absolutely.
Such a time as this.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point because, you know, I think sometimes we kind of get the idea that, you know, we're just here and we're going to live and we're going to die and we're going to have our vocation and we're going to do these things. But we've got to get the idea planted in our mind that God did create us for the time that we live in.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he's got plans and purpose for each one of us, purpose and plans, I better put it that way, for each one of us. And so in the time that we're in, we're significant. We have a significant part to play in the kingdom of God.
Such as this.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And just like those that came before us, they were brought for that time to prepare the way for us for this time.
Yeah.
And as we are here now, we are preparing the way for the next generation
right.
and the next generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's why I wanted to talk about the importance of a prayer life because, you know, there's without prayer, I mean, it's like, well, me and Patsy, my wife, if we didn't communicate, if I didn't talk to her, our relationship would not grow stronger. We have to talk. We have to communicate with our Heavenly Father for that relationship to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. The more we communicate through prayer and His written word. And His written word, if we study His written word, we hear Him answer our prayers. And we can see the fruition of our prayers. Because it says that a prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if we continue in prayer, if we continue in prayer with Him on a regular basis, the stronger our relationship with Him grows. The more it grows, the more we are hungered for His written word. And the more we get into His written word, the stronger our relationship comes. So we can hear His voice. We start learning His voice. We can hear Him. Yeah. You know, in the
That's
book
right.
of John, the first chapter, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And in verse 14, it said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if we fill up on that Word, which it says right there that Word is Jesus. If we fill up on His Word, we're filling up on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we get more Jesus in us. And the more we pray, the more we learn how to be humble. Because, you know, praying is an act of humbleness. Because when you bow your head and bow down to somebody and pray to them, you're actually humbling yourself before a sovereign God and praying to Him. So that prayer life is very important.
And it's a form of a submission, you know.
Right.
I'm yours. You are, you know, I like to think of it as kind of because we did that study on the army or armor of God. That He is our commander in chief and we
yes.
are His army. And yeah. it's coming before our commander in chief and say, okay, here I am. What would you have for me today? But, you know, it makes me think about, you know, as we pray and we get into the Word, that there's also ways that God, because going back to the whole personality thing, what do you like? You know, obviously you like to ride motorcycles and you like to do those things. And so God will talk to you and even lead you and bless you in the things that you like.
That's why He used bikers that were in His kingdom to reach me.
That's right.
Because that's the lifestyle I was living. And that's kind of lifestyle I've been set to go back into, not as I was, but as I am.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's just a desire of your heart to be in to ride a motorcycle and that. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I've been to the penitentiary twice. Well, I've been to the penitentiary about 32 times, but two times I didn't get to come home when I wanted to. The other 30 times they let me out when I wanted out because I was doing prison ministries. But that's a desire of my heart to take the message to those guys because they are at the end of their rope. And they know, as I knew when I was in there, that we messed up. And that is, when I was in there in the 1900s, which was like eons ago.
That's so funny to hear that.
That was the, that was a devil's working ground because there wasn't as many prison ministry teams coming in. There wasn't a lot of, Christian activity. It was, you had to fight to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty bad. It's been, there's a lot of prison ministry teams. Like when I first got saved, I started doing prison ministries with Mike Barber Prison Ministries. He's a ex NFL. He's a retired NFL football player. He played for Houston Oilers, I believe is who it was. And now he goes all over the United States now. And I think there's a whole lot of prison ministry teams now. There's a whole lot of volunteers going into prisons. So God's taking that area back too.
Yeah.
And you know, people make mistakes and we all make mistakes. As long as we're cursed in this flesh, we're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Some of them get caught. Some of y'all don't. I'm kidding. But yeah, we walk in the flesh. We're going to mess up. I mean, that's just the way it is. And that prison ministry, that's good. That's good fertile ground to sow seed in.
And do you feel like the times that you went into that jail ministry that they were receptive to what you have to say?
Absolutely. There's one, I hope he's listening right now, named Daniel Boland out in East Texas. I met him in Raines County Jail. I was in there. When I lived in East Texas, I'd go in there every Sunday to do a church service for the inmates, and he was in there. And he turned his life over to Christ that first time I met him, and I kept going in there every Sunday. And when he finally caught, they call it, when you catch the bus, go to the prison, they call it catching the chain. When he finally caught the chain, went to prison, he got hooked up with a Bible study correspondence course that I used to be affiliated with called Right Way Prison Ministry. And he was doing those Bible study correspondence course when he got out. And he got hooked in with Lake Fork Baptist Church, and he became a Sunday school teacher there.
That's
and
great.
There's a lot of stories of people that's been reached in prison that turned their life around. Matter of fact, whenever I got out of prison the first time, I'd given my life to Christ while I was locked up, the last year I was locked up, and through the Right Way Prison Ministry Bible study correspondence course that somebody hooked me up with. And I got out and I was doing real good. I mean, I was doing good. I got me a job. I was staying clean, living at my dad's house. And I got probably my third check and I went to the bank to cash my check. And there was a little old girl I used to know that come in that bank. She had some dope and I wasn't strong enough. And I quit my job, moved out of my dad's house and fell. And walked down that dark path again for probably that was in 80. No, that was in 1989. I walked down that dark path till 2005. Mm-hmm. And that's when God said, you know what, Wendell, I've had enough. I'm fixing to do a radical change in your life. I'm going to use these bikers right here and I'm going to reach you.
That's
I'm going to use you. And that's when that after I got saved, I started reading because I wanted to know who he was. And so I started reading his word, reading. I kept running across the scripture that said, if you search me with a sincere heart, I will reveal myself to you. And that's what he kept doing. The more I read, the more he revealed. And then I started learning that fire that I felt going up the back of my legs. That was a cleansing fire of the Holy Spirit, cleaning me from all that year, all them years of filth and trash and drugs and criminal lifestyle that I was living.
Mm-hmm.
He set me free from all of it. So,
do you remember the first time that God spoke to you?
I do.
You know, yeah. A lot of times, you know, or a vivid. So the reason why I ask that is, well, I had a purpose for that question. But anyway, you know, you remember as you're seeking Him, and He begins to speak to you. How did you know that that was His voice?
Well, the first time He spoke to me, I was 13 years old, and I didn't know Him, so I didn't recognize the warning I was given. And what it was is I was involved in that drug world, and I saw somebody shooting up some speed. And when I looked over there, I'd been smoking pot and taking pills. When I looked over there, I looked at that needle and that spoon, that little rubber hose that they tied around their arm. And God, you know, you heard the people say, my guts told me not to do that. Well, that's God's spirit talking to our spirit. That's, our guts don't really talk. It's our spirit, inner spirit telling them. And my spirit, God's spirit was talking to my spirit, telling me that, you know, He's putting like a skull and crossbones on that, what I was looking at.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, you know, I kept looking at it. I kept seeing that skull and crossbones, but it wasn't long. I was doing that very same thing. And His spirit was telling me, no, that's a bad road to go down. Don't go down that road. And I didn't recognize His voice. But after I got saved and started studying His word and reading His word, I realized every time that He was talking to me, I know now who it was. Back then, I was thinking my guts, but it was God's.
That's pretty cool.
That's God's Holy Spirit telling
me. When you realize that that's been God, even before you ever were saved, that He was still talking to you and He was still loving on you and beckoning you and wanting you to be in His kingdom.
He never, just like the Bible says, He never forsook me. Never gave up
on
me.
That's right. No matter how dark you went or no matter what you did, He still loved you. He still wants you.
Still revealed
and
Himself
he still,
to me.
Yeah, He still revealed Himself to you, and He still wanted to use you.
But I didn't know Him. I knew of Him, but I didn't know Him. And that's a big difference. Knowing God and knowing of Him, that's two different things.
So you say that. So what is the difference between knowing Him and knowing of Him?
Well, do you know President Biden?
Oh, I know him.
Or do you know of him?
I know of him.
Yeah. See, there's a difference.
Like, well, and so kind of what I was getting around to is about relationship.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
and relationship. Like with you talked about with Patsy, you know, you have that relationship. If you come home and you never talk to her, well, you're probably not going to be in a relationship for very much longer.
Yeah, she'd see to that.
And yeah, so that's how it is with God.
Yeah.
You know, that is, like you said, that reading His word and just spending that time with Him.
That's one thing I don't want to hear is, get away from me. I never knew you.
Oh, man. Yeah. Could you imagine?
I don't want to know. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to ever hear that. Yeah. That's.
You want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
That's what I want to hear. Yeah. And see, I wanted to come talk about the importance of prayer life, and I'm probably just as guilty as everybody else. My prayer life isn't what it should be. Even Billy Graham, you know, the greatest evangelist I think that ever lived so far, he even said that if he had anything to do over again, he would have more prayer life. That was one of the things he said. And I try to pray every morning. I try to commune with God all day long, but I still feel like I need to do it more.
Mm-hmm.
And I need a closer walk with Him, more so tomorrow than what I have today, and more today than what I had yesterday.
That's right.
Because I can never get enough, and I know that the prayer is a key factor in strengthening that relationship, because you have to communicate with Him, and His written word is a must in being able to hear His voice. Because I wasn't all the time, all throughout my life, when he was trying to reveal himself to me, I never was in his written word, and I never knew who it was. I just thought it was my guts talking. Mm-hmm. You know, guts saying, don't do this, you're going to get in trouble. But once I got saved and started reading his word, I started realizing, oh, wow, that was God. He's with me the whole time.
Yeah.
How shameful do I feel now?
So we did our song this morning in church.
Yeah.
And that one little phrase that says, I love your voice. It's led me through the fire. And something about the darkest night.
Mm.
And, you know, the first time I heard that song, and I heard that, I love your voice. I thought, I really do.
Yeah.
I love that.
So we're talking about prayer, but what does that look like in a Christian's life? Because I think oftentimes we have this, you see someone with their legs crossed and their fingers, you know, out like this, and they're having this, you know, special moment. What is prayer? You know, what is prayer, and what does that look like for you?
A conversation with my Holy Father. Just
do you say thee, thou, and thou?
I never did know King Arthur or King James.
Oh, yeah, so, King James.
Yeah, so I don't know how to speak thou language.
Yeah.
But no, I just talk to him like I would my dad,
yeah,
or my friends, or my brother in Christ, and except he's more sovereign than anybody, any human I know. So, you know, with humbleness and lots of respect, I talk to him and I thank him for, you know, at first I thank him for everything he's done for my life, because he took needles out of my arms,
mm-hmm,
a 32-year addiction he took out of my being, and that alone is, I mean, I'm very grateful for him for that. And I've got a lovely wife, I've got a good life, I've got all my needs are met, I've got a beautiful little daughter. I mean, I've got great friends. I got a fantastic church.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never thought that I'd be here, you know. So whenever I thank him, I thank him with a sincere heart, and then I give my petitions to him. You know, put your protective armor around all my loved ones and all their loved ones and all their loved ones, mm-hmm, and you know, guide us all. Guide me. Help me to be who you created me to be. And then whenever I get in his written word, I can see. He reveals to me through his written word the exact same things that I prayed for before I ever started reading.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to explain. Y'all know y'all understand it because y'all do it too.
Yeah.
And it's hard to. It's just, they call it the living word for a reason. Because that
right.
word, once you get into that written word, that word, it comes to life.
Yes, it
and
does.
And it comes to life right in front of you. And it's just an amazing thing to experience.
Don't you think that's real prayer? When we begin to speak the word like that. And because we're saying back to God what he's just saying to us.
Right.
And that's I think that's one of the highest forms of prayer right there.
Yeah. That's good.
And, you know, I have this story. I've actually wrote up a little article on it. But, you know, God cares about our family, and he cares about all the things that are important to us. But he also cares about the little things.
Oh, yeah.
And so I can remember one of my favorite things to do is when I'm outside and I'm gardening, you know, and taking care of my flowers and doing all these things. And I'm watering my plants and I'm talking to God, you know, just for having us a good old time, you know. And the grasshoppers are eating my flowers. So I just said, Lord, will you do something about these grasshoppers. Will you just, you know, I'm thinking God's going to come down, zap them, kill them, get them off my flowers, right? But I'm asking God to save my flowers from these grasshoppers. Well, over the next couple of days, I start seeing this big spider web and a spider in it. And I mean, like big. It's a huge spider, and it was just right above that. And sure enough,
he
was catching those grasshoppers. And I thought, that is not how I thought that prayer was going to be answered. But it was a prayer that God answered, that it was something that meant something to me.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was something.
A spider.
Yes. So, and I was used to be really afraid of spiders, and now I'm like, you don't kill spiders at the house now. That is like God sent the spiders to eat the grasshoppers.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you know, I just think about that, and I think so many times that God only cares about certain things, you know, like that I'm saying the right things and I'm talking to the right people and then I'm reading my Bible and all those things. And he does care about those things, but that's not all he cares about. He cares about everything.
Yeah.
He cares about the little details of what we care about, you know.
Yeah. Well, like the lady, I don't remember her name, she got and spoke today about the fire that was encroaching on somebody's property. And they prayed a ring of Jesus' blood around that property, and the fire didn't go past that.
That's right.
And that's even that ring. I know a lot of people are praying because that fire was on both sides of that feedlot. Because I come back from Borger that day, and when I was coming by there, it was on the west side of the feedlot, and then when I went past the feedlot, it was on the east side of the feedlot. Mm-hmm. And I think the firemen, they got it all put out, but shortly thereafter, it come a downpour right there over that feedlot. And I think that kind of finished it off right there.
Yeah, much needed rain for sure.
Yeah, we need more rain, so we need to pray for rain.
Yeah, that's right. You know, earlier you had talked about that if I heard you correctly, was it your mom that was praying for you?
Right.
And so I think about that too, that power of someone that's praying for somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. You see someone that's walking, you know, you see what they can't see, the darkness that they're going into. But as we pray for those people, like your mom did for you, that could be the how important that is for other people, that we pray for them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's prayer. God answers prayers always. It might not be in our time frame, but he'll always answer them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and if it's a righteous prayer, if it's a prayer that's in line with his word, he'll always answer it with the right answer. Now, if we pray for something that's not in line with his word, the answer is always going to be no.
Yeah.
It has to be in line with his word.
So do you have to talk out loud to pray?
I don't think so.
Can you do it mentally?
Yes. I think if you're praying for somebody, I think that's the reason he gives us vocal cords, because he likes to hear us pray. But I think if you just meditate and you know, just I think he hears. And you know what? I heard something the other day. I shared it with Patsy. It was in the Old Testament, Moses asked God, "What is your name?" And one of the names that he answered with was YHWH. And when the Greek scholars looked at that, that is a sound of an inhale and exhale. So what this thing was talking about was every time, like the first breath a child takes, they're saying the word of God.
Ooh, that's good.
And the last breath the person takes is Yahweh. You know, and they said it sounds like an inhale and an exhale whenever they say it in the Greek language. And so even atheists are saying his name.
Now that's
every
pretty cool.
Time they breathe.
Yeah.
And just the fact that his name is, you know, it said that he is the breath of life, and his name is even stamped on them, each breath. So even, you know, it says in the Bible that even if you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will utter sounds. in prayer for you.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You know, actually, I experienced that one time when my father had passed away. I was just really, I was young when he passed away. I was in my early 20s, and it really affected me because I didn't know if he was saved or not. And it just really affected me. And at that time, I did not know what to pray, but I knew I needed to pray, but I didn't know what to pray. And so I would just say the Lord's Prayer because I didn't. It was like the words couldn't come, you know, it's like I didn't know. But I know that in that willingness, the Holy Spirit, you know, was interceding on my behalf. That's right, in my heart. And, you know, got past that. But I do think there's times that we get into a situation where we just don't know what to pray.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, God knows your heart. And the Holy Spirit knows what you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. Is it you put forth that effort to pray, but you don't know exactly what to pray, the Holy Spirit will intervene for you.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're a child of the living God, if you're, you know, walking with Him. I know that when somebody makes their relationship with our Heavenly Father their priority, they will start the prayer life, and they will start feeding on His written word, and as they begin to pray, they'll learn how to pray for other people. And
that's right.
That's further in the kingdom. Because mm-hmm. If it wasn't for those bikers putting their hand on my shoulder and praying for me, I'd probably be dead by now or in prison for life. And, you know, I thank God every day for using them to reach me. And now, excuse me, now every time I go to pray for somebody, I always ask them, is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? Because I know the power in that because I experienced it.
Yeah.
So prayer's an important part of building that relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as you were talking, that scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness,
Matthew 6:33.
All these things shall be added unto you. And so that's just what you said. That's what you're talking about. As we begin to seek Him first, no matter what, then everything else, all these things shall be added unto you. And so that's what it is. It's seeking Him through prayer and seeking Him through the Word. And whatever it is that you're going through or experiencing, He's going to meet you right there in the middle of that.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
Yeah, that used to be one of my favorite scriptures, Matthew 6:33. Matter of fact, when I first got saved, my email was circuitrider633.
Oh, yeah.
So that was one of my favorite scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mark, I know you've been feeling everybody's prayers.
Yeah, I have. It's been really cool and been pretty humbling in some ways. Friends call me and tell me they're praying for me, and that makes you, I don't know how that makes you feel. It just makes you
feel
good on the inside.
Yeah, it makes you feel the love from your friends.
Yeah, and through it all, I've renewed some old relationships that had kind of drifted away from me, and those things have been renewed. And
there you go.
And you know, it's just been pretty cool how that's worked. But people call and tell me they're praying, and you know, I know they are.
Yeah.
That's. You don't just call somebody up and say, I'm praying for you.
And then not.
Yeah. I pray for you.
Well, that's a prayer in itself, just saying I'm praying for you. I mean, I think. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been pretty cool to experience that. And one of the coolest things that's happened in the area of prayer with me is, I've kind of been in and out mentally. I don't want to say too much about that, but sometimes I can't get my thoughts together and can't get things going. And one night or several nights, I'd just be laying there in bed, couldn't go to sleep, and just start staring up at the top of the roof or the ceiling, just thinking about things. And you know, I started talking to God and talking about my heart. And I said, Lord, just a lot of pride, trying to get rid of pride out of my heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the time he didn't speak back. And I started kind of worrying me a little bit.
Well, he probably didn't see all that pride in you that you see.
But then one night, I don't know how long ago this was, probably a month ago. I was laying there and I was just thinking about, I don't know why this thought came to me, because it's not a normal thought for me to have. But my thought went down the road of, where am I missing God? What more can I do than what I'm doing? And I started down that road. And every time something would come to my mind, I'd go, no, I'm already, the blood of Jesus has already taken care of that.
Right.
And then I'd think of something else. And then I'd go, no, and I was just having this conversation with God. I realized later that he was the one doing that. He was the one that was putting those thoughts in my mind and bringing me to the realization more and more that it's only through Jesus. And that really has been a blessing to me.
Oh, yeah. He's shown you all the grace that he's given.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the darkest times is when you end up having those prayer times with God that stick with you forever.
You know, and you kind of what you had said earlier is praying for other people. When we experience things, and as we begin to pray, and God begins to talk to us, and He answers those prayers, it actually helps us know that I know if God can do this for me, God can do it for you.
Yeah.
And so this is what I did, and this is how I prayed. So I'm going to pray this for you because I know that that's what He did for me. Yeah. And the Bible says He's no respecter of persons.
Right.
So if He's going to do it for me, He's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, when you experience those things, and it's a lifetime of experiences.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, we're all imperfect, and you know, there's things that we're going to go through, and it's I would like to say that there are to go away, but until we go on the other side of heaven, that's right. And so that's what I think is really cool, that you have that confidence. You learn that confidence of knowing that God is who He says He is, and He will do what His word says, and that He loves us. Even if we've gone down our dark path, or even if we've gotten prideful, or whatever it is that we've done, even in the middle of all that, Christ died while we were still sinners.
There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
That's Amen. Right. That's
Period.
Right.
Yeah, I remember one time I was when I first got saved, I was still smoking cigarettes, and I was living in East Texas, and we'd get these people coming up with us with Circuit Riders. We'd be in a group, and we'd go out to eat, and get these guys coming up. And said, WD, because that's my biker name, WD. He said, WD, can you pray for me, man? I want to quit smoking. I said, yeah, I can pray for you. I'd put my hand on their shoulder. I'd lift my hand up. I'd start praying for them to quit smoking. And the first time I did that, I felt a little chastisement. Second time I did it, I felt a little more. And then about the fourth time I did that, God said, okay, Wendell, you're praying for me to help them quit smoking, but you're still smoking. When are you going to ask me to help you quit? And so I started asking Him to help me quit. And I mean, that was I don't know why he didn't take that away from me at the same time he took the 32-year drug addiction away, but he didn't. And it was hard for me to quit smoking, but I finally quit smoking. And now when people ask me to pray for them to quit smoking, I tell them the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can be done.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember them praying for him. The last one I prayed for is right in the middle of the prayer. God said, Wendell, ask me to help you quit. And I paused right in the middle of that prayer, and I'm thinking, golly, I feel like an idiot now, you know, because I know when I get through eating, I'm going to go out here and smoke a cigarette, and I'm asking God to help them quit doing something that I'm still doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he finally, he helped me get off them cigarettes.
Yeah, it's a process, isn't it?
Yeah, it was hard.
So just because you I started to use the word infirmity. That's not the word. But just because there's something in my life that you feel like violates the scripture, it does not keep the anointing of God from flowing through me.
That's right.
Right. That's right.
So, you know, the deal that I've kind of fought with was, well, I don't need to be praying for people for healing when I've got something in my own body. It's sort of like physician, heal yourself. But that's really not what the scriptures
right,
teach
not in line
at all.
Of scripture, right.
The scriptures teach that
I mean, God used a donkey to speak to somebody.
Yeah. thanks, Wendell.
Well, no. That's not what I was saying.
It sounds like you're putting words in my mouth.
No.
I wasn't thinking that.
Here's a bad one.
Yeah.
God used
it left you speechless, didn't it?
God used a rock in the desert to bring forth water for the Israelites.
Yeah.
Yeah, God can use anybody to help people.
Yeah.
That's not why I brought that up. Cause I know he still helped them people quit smoking, even though I was still smoking. It was just time for me.
Well, through that, you had a conviction.
Yeah.
You started, the Holy Spirit began to work on you. Where that conviction was on them, you didn't have that conviction yet. And I think that's one thing that we need to realize as Christians is, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit and not us be the Holy Spirit to other people.
Yeah.
You know, because where God may convict us in an area that we need to quit doing something or do something, that may not be the same thing where somebody else is at. And so I think that's probably what happened is as you begin to pray, you didn't have that conviction, but they did. But then the Holy Spirit began to work on you and probably began to convict you.
They had so much of that conviction on them, but it got on me.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Wendell, when you were praying for people to get rid of cigarettes, did they have positive results in their life?
You know, unfortunately, I can't answer that because I don't know. Because they were people that living in that area that knew of us, and I guess I'd seen them in the jail or something whenever I'd go in there and do the services, and they'd come up and ask me to pray, and I never did follow up with them to see.
Right.
I'm believing that our Heavenly Father helped them get past that.
I believe that too.
I'm believing that's what I believe.
I believe that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So let's go back to your Behind the Bars ministry. Now, do you guys meet regularly, or what if someone, how does anyone get this information about what you have going?
Well, we have a Facebook page called Behind the Bars Ministry, and we also have, we've been having our monthly meetings the first Saturday of every month at 7 p.m. at night, but my job changed and now I work on Saturdays, so I'm only off on Sundays and Mondays. So we're gonna change our meeting dates till the first Sunday of every month at probably 3 p.m. in the afternoon in Wheeler. Probably here at the church.
So is that how they would get involved in this ministry or get in touch with you? Is just show up for those meetings or
they can contact me at area code 817-361-2883 or come to Cornerstone Church at 3 p.m. the first Sunday of every month. I'd prefer a phone call in case we got to move the meeting place. But yeah, my phone number again is 817-361-2883.
Okay.
And, circuit riders, you don't even have to have a motorcycle to be a part of the ministry. All you got to do is be saved, be an active member of a church, and, love ice cream.
Oh man, I got the ice cream part down.
We got Circuit Riders has a song called I Love Jesus Better Than Ice Cream, and ice cream is mighty good. So there's a, when we had our St. Patrick's Day rally, we all went to Soto's to eat. And well, I think we had that whole front room filled up, and everybody started singing that song. There's a video on Facebook of it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you have to have a motorcycle to be a part of this? So
you just have to have a desire to want to help spread the kingdom of God.
There you go.
So if I want to be a part of Hell's Angels, I've got to have a motorcycle, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, you got to go through a hang around process and then a prospect process, and you got to have a motorcycle. It's got to be a American made.
That sounds like a better deal to me. No motorcycle.
Yeah.
Well, Wendell, would you be willing to pray for those people that are listening out there tonight that. You know, they just need some help in their prayer life, and they just need something. Or, you know, just pray for those listeners that are out there, and that their prayer would become strong in their relationship with God.
Well, I would, but I don't know how to pray.
You don't know how to pray?
Yes, I'd be honored to pray.
I think we're past that one.
Okay, I'd be honored to pray. Here,
right. Okay.
Heavenly Father, we just humbly come before you, and we just ask that all the listeners that are online right now or on the air listening to us, Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will just help them to see the importance of a prayer life in their life. Father, whatever needs they're battling, whatever needs they need, whatever issues they have in their life, Father God, we're just asking in the name of Jesus Christ that you meet them right there where they're at to help them get rid of the issues that they have in their life. Father, you know each and every one of them better than anybody. And we just ask that you meet them right where they're at and help them get through the situations they're at. If they're battling any kind of addictions, we ask that you just strengthen their spirit and just set them free. Anoint them from the bottom of their feet to the top of their heads and set them free from anything that they might be battling. And Father God, we just ask that you give them the desire to seek you out, a hunger for your word. Help them to understand your word as they are reading it, and help them to get to know you better. Father, you say in your written word that if we seek you out with a sincere heart, you will reveal yourself to us. Father, I pray that you give them that hunger to seek you out with a sincere heart. And it's in your holy name, Lord Jesus, that we thank you, praise you, and give you all the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Have you noticed how we get people on here that know how to pray?
I know. Well, it's because of where they went through in their life, you know.
Yeah.
They made it through that because they were prayers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just been amazed by that through the years even.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks, Wendell.
Yeah, thanks for praying for those people.
Thank y'all for having me on here.
I love to have you on here.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
I think I'm a veteran now. Well, I've been here four times.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. You're not a guest. You're just one of us now.
Yeah.
You know, going back to your name of the ministry, Behind the Bars, before I got the whole it's behind the bars of a motorcycle, I thought it was a jail ministry.
It's both.
Well, and I got that, you know, later, you know, because I was talking to my husband about it. And then as I'm a little slow. I'm not blonde, but I am a little slow. And then I ended up picking up on the whole behind the bars ministry. But anyway, because I do have a motorcycle.
I know. You won a trophy at our event last
year. I'm telling you what I did. And I have my trophy on my dresser where I can look at it every day.
You should have came this year and won another one.
I know it. I should have. But, yeah. I still need to bling it out. I'm wanting to bling it out. I got to get me some white walls. You know, I still got to get some stuff done to my bike before.
Cholo.
Yeah. Get that thing blinging out. So, but.
Yeah, the Behind the Bars Ministry, it's a twofold name. It's like behind the handlebars and behind the prison bars.
And so do you minister here local to the local jail here or any other jails? Are you ministering at any current time right now?
At this point in time, I have not gotten back into any facilities since the COVID thing has let up.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get with the administrator, Carrie, here at the Wheeler County Jail, see if I can start going in there on Sundays. The chaplains at the prisons around here, they are every 2 years you got to get recertified to go into these prisons. And I think that COVID thing kind of allowed my certification to expire, so I got to get that reinstated. And the chaplains around here, I think they got like a 1 year waiting list.
Wow.
I know this. I've got some friends.
A lot of people wanting in there. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of them wanting out, too.
I know, that's right.
Yeah, they need to get out on the right foot, though.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I got some friends that go to Trinity Fellowship in Amarillo that go quite regular into the prisons in Amarillo, and they've invited me to come in there with them. Yeah. That's just, they go in on Monday nights and, I think they go in once a week to one unit on Mondays and then once a week at another unit on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the job I have is 15-hour days during the week.
Yeah.
I have Sundays and Mondays off. So I don't know if I could do the Monday night in Amarillo and then get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday morning, and go out there and drive an oil truck.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know what? Your testimony is so powerful, and I know because of that and what God has done in your life, it's going to be able to be used in your ministry, and it has to be a good tool in reaching out to these people, because what God can do for Wendell, God can do for the rest of them.
Absolutely.
That's the truth.
And so,
like you said, he's not a respecter of persons. He wants to help everybody.
That's right.
What does John 3:16 say?
Yeah.
For God to love the world that he gave. That's right.
Yeah.
So we just want to thank you again for being on. We just want to remind our listeners that we do have our website that is sundaynightlive.org that we have our core. Once the show is over, we'll post that. So if you'd like to go back and listen to that. And I guess that's about a wrap, isn't it, Mark?
Well, I think it is. We're down to 43 seconds.
I'm actually pretty excited that we didn't run the clock down. I bet Jim is, too.
I bet he is, too.
And I am glad to see Mark back in the studio with us.
Yes, I am very glad.
Really,
it's good to have him.
He joined us by phone when he was out a little bit, but it sure is good to see him and back in the studio.
I'm glad to be here.
He can't break the microphone when he's not here. So.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I noticed you got it fixed there, Jim.
Yeah,
we won't.
It didn't take him long to fix it, did it?
Yeah, what, not even 10 seconds?
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, we will be back next Sunday night. We just want to thank you for tuning in and have a good night.
Good night to you, Danley.
And good night to y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
Good night.